Be in Revelation and chapter 11. Revelation and chapter 11 this evening. Getting back into our study on the book of Revelation. We've taken a 6-week break on that to go over the foundation discipleship class. And we're back in it this evening. And tonight we're going to have a fairly deep but introduction to the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. We want to lay the foundation and understand the great importance of this chapter and how it will benefit each and every one of us in our Bible study from cover to cover. So Revelation chapter 11, read verses 1 through 3 with me, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "And there was given me a reed, like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." Father, please bless tonight the reading of Thy Word to our hearts and our minds. I pray again that You would please allow the teaching to be clear, concise. I pray that it would follow scriptural teachings, dear Lord. I pray that dispensationally tonight we see the Holy Scripture the way You have presented it, preserved it, and purified it for us. So we do give You honor, glory, and praise, Father, for everything we said in this Bible study this evening. And Lord, we thank You again for Your mighty works that You've done in our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I do again want to apologize. My voice is a tad weak, just a little weak, trying to get rid of this head congestion as much as I can. And so I do ask for apologies there. Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, as we just read, we are now in our study in the book of Revelation, even though we're getting back into it tonight after a 6-week hiatus. We are at a halfway point of the book of Revelation. This is the halfway point here. Chapter 11, though, and if you are taking notes, you're going to want to key into these next few statements. Chapter 11 is by far the most important chapter in the book of Revelation. Chapter 11 is. As a matter of fact, I honestly believe tonight that you could write this down with ink, that one may even say that of all the chapters in the Bible, Revelation 11 is the greatest chapter of all for opening the Scriptures. You say, well, why did you say we can write that down in pen? Well, because you don't have to worry about erasing it later on, because I believe that to be an accurate statement. Revelation 11 is the greatest chapter in all the Bible for opening Scriptures. I didn't say the most favored chapter. I didn't say even the prettiest chapter. I didn't even say the best chapter in winning somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I am telling you this tonight. Revelation 11 is the greatest chapter of all for the opening of the Scriptures. And here's why. Chapter 11 of the book of Revelation is the key to the book of Revelation. That's number one. Okay? Chapter 11 is the key to the book of Revelation. Number two, the book of Revelation is the key to the Old Testament. The book of Revelation is the key to the Old Testament. Now, number three, the Old Testament is the key to the New Testament. The key to the New Testament. So just to repeat that again, chapter 11 is the key to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the key to the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is the key to the New Testament. This is the reason why so many people go off into a false doctrine, because they simply do not believe the book of Revelation, most of which because they can't understand the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, or they're not willing thereunto to understanding the 11th chapter. Let me tell you this, guys. The key to understanding Revelation chapter 11 is the same with the entire book. Believe what you read. That is the key tonight. And that is how that complete circle, how that cycle, how the key to the book of Revelation, and the Revelation the key to the Old Testament, and then the key to the Old Testament is the New Testament. That continual cycle in dispensational teaching and rightly dividing the Word of Truth, that's how that follows if you just believe what you read. If a person will believe the book of Revelation, as it stands, when they get to the 11th chapter and read the first 3 verses, they will have no problem whatsoever in believing in the rebuilt or rebuilding of the Jewish temple at Jerusalem. And that is a point today, not only controversy, but that is a point of conflict amongst most religious thinkers and religious teachers, because they throw the baby out with the bathwater. They throw things out that they don't understand because they're not believing what they're reading, therefore they can't understand it. So I'll say that again. If a person will just simply believe the book of Revelation when they read it as it stands, when they get to this 11th chapter, in the first three verses, they have no problem whatsoever in believing in a rebuilt Jewish temple in Jerusalem. This is simple. It's a biblical fact, but it is unknown, and it's unknown because it's mostly untaught amongst most denominations today, the rebuilding of the Jewish temple with Jewish people in there worshiping in a Jewish rite. Now, when you look at all the things that are going on in the world today, when you look at all the floods, you look at all the disease, the hailstorms, you look at the violence, you look at the devil possessions today, the economical downward spirals that nations are experiencing today, the breakdown of the family nuclei, with groups attacking from the center opposed to attacking on the front line. We find all of these things in the world. We find the world going in a very negative direction. The world's not going in a positive direction. It's not. It's going, the world's getting worse in its ideologies. I would have never in my life imagine that the central theme of battles in the United States of America tonight would be which toilet somebody could go to. It's asinine to actually think that somebody would actually say, yeah, you're a guy, I think you ought to go in the ladies' bathroom, or you're a guy, I think you ought to go into the ladies' changing room. It makes absolutely no sense to my mind whatsoever. Who would have thought that would be the raging topic on the news, but it is. You have one state suing the government now, the government suing that state. It's ridiculous, and it's all because people have taken the written Word of God in its plain understanding as it's written and thrown it to the side. When we look into the world and we do see the violence raging and we do see the storms, you know, occurring and the hail storms that are occurring and the tornado, all the things that are going on, the denominational doctrine of dominion theology, which teaches that God is done with Israel, therefore he destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70, and from that point forward he was finished with them, and churches replaced Israel, and they get all their promises. Well, when you look at dominion theology as to what it is, but yet you look at the world in the position that it's going, that doesn't make sense. Because if we are the church, and the church is a universal body, as those people teach, amen, as opposed to a local body of believers in Christ, okay, then the world should be getting better, because there's got to be something great, because that promise of that kingdom that's coming, right? You see, when you take on dominion theology, replacement theology, you also throw away the tribulation period. Because if God's done with Israel, there's no need for Daniel's 70th week, because Daniel was a Jew, by the way. You see what I'm saying? So when they sit back and they look at the things going on in the world today, they have no answers. They just don't understand why in the world is it going like this. And this is denominational type of teaching in every seminary in the world today, every major seminary. Secondly, the contemporary teaching of this is your best life now, that type of teaching, they can't rationalize why in the world is our economy going to pot? Why in the world is there more tornadoes than there ever has been? Why in the world is there floods over here? Why in the world is there an earthquake? Why is this volcano going? Why is this place on fire? And this one's underwater. And this one's getting hit by tornadoes. And this one over here can't buy its way out of a wet paper bag. And then there's the Zika virus over here. And there's the Faka drug. They can't if this is your best life now, my soul, that's depressing, right? They can't understand those things. And it's not because they're not intelligent. They can't understand these teachings. They can't cope with what's going on in the world today because they refuse to believe what they have read. And that's the key, guys. That's the key tonight, understanding the key to this entire book, the key to the Old Testament, which is unlocks the key to the New Testament, which brings us around full circle. If a man or a woman will simply just believe what they read in the book of Revelation, when we read these first three verses that we've read tonight already, in chapter 11, they'll have no problem with understanding what's going on in the world, with understanding why the world is in the situation that it is. the Word of God gives us the exact time of this temple's existence. And this is important, guys. This is important because if you don't understand when this temple exists right here, then you don't understand when these events are going to occur. Then you get sucked down into that drain that teaches that everything that we're about to read happened in AD 70 with General Flavius Titus and the Roman army that came in and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and saw to the ground that nothing would ever grow there again. But the Word of God tells us the exact time of this temple's existence. It's found in verses 2 and 3. Look there with me if you will. Again, the Bible says, "But the court which is without the temple, leave out, measure it, it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now that 42 months, we also see in verse 3, the 1260 days, that 42 months is 42 months made up of 30-day months, which equals 1,260 days. All right. There is no need to interpret this scripture here because the Bible's already interpreted it itself. Greek's not going to clarify verse 2 any more than the English is in our pure sight right now and preserved clearly, just the way God has told us. The words that are here are supposed to be there. The numbers that are here are supposed to be here. So we understand exactly when this particular temple is here. 42 months, we know that that time frame is when. That thing exists for 42 months when? During the tribulation period. Okay, now we're going to speak a little bit later on about what portion of that tribulation period is. We'll get to that before we close tonight. So understand that tonight. Believe here right now that you just read that that temple is going to be, that temple was there for 42 months where they're, what are they doing? Worshiping and taking care of business like they would. I don't want to get, almost getting ahead of myself. In Revelation chapter 11, I told you this was going to be more of an introduction tonight than anything, laying a foundation for the next week. But in Revelation chapter 11, in verse 15, this is what we read, that the kingdoms of the world, not the kingdom of God, but the kingdoms of this world are going to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, not the Roman Catholic institution. Look there in verse 15 with me. It says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Now, are we going through the world today preaching the kingdoms of heaven or the kingdom of God? I hear it all the time. Well, it's all for the kingdom of heaven. No, it's not. It's for the kingdom of God. Because Jesus Christ said, "For the kingdom of God dwelleth in you." The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom of which you were born into when you get saved and born again. The kingdom of heaven is a literal, physical kingdom that occurs after the tribulation period, that 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Verse 15 speaks about neither one of those. The kingdoms of this world. Okay, now when does that happen? That happens at the second advent of the Lord. So now we're starting to see a time frame of what Revelation 11 actually said. Well, wait a second, preacher. There's 20-some-odd chapters. How in the world are we already getting toward the end of the trib now? I don't quite understand that. I told you from the beginning. It's not a chronological book. It's not a novel. It's not even a manuscript for that matter. Amen? You've got to put things where they belong according to the Word of God. And they self-interpret themselves, if you will. So in verse 15, we find that the kingdoms of this world are going to belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're going to believe Revelation 11 tonight, listen here, as you find it, where you find it, how you find it, to mean what it says and say what it means, you'll have to open your mind up to a doctrine that's mainly unknown because it's untaught among the majority of Christian churches today and any religion in the world. But it's right here in the Holy Scripture. Here's another zinger for you. I like this one. You'll find a rapture that occurs in Revelation chapter 11. Look in verse 12 there. We find the catching up of someone who is killed. Verse 11 says, And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, "Come up hither." And they ascended up to the heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So you're going, wait a second here, preacher. You mean to tell me that we have the kingdoms of this world in the 11th chapter being given unto our Lord Jesus Christ, and just before that we have a rapture that occurs, and before that we got a temple over there, and in the midst of that we got Gentiles trodden that temple underfoot, but all this already happened back in AD 70, right? No. Couldn't have whatsoever. this rapture that's occurring in chapter 11, verse 12, occurs 1,000 years before the great white throne judgment. So it's not that calling up of the dead, before them. Now, if that didn't cook your brain enough, I want to give you one other thing that probably will this evening in this chapter. And again, key is believe what you read. Believe what you read. If that's in verse 8, we find in their dead bodies, and their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, where was the Lord Jesus Christ crucified? Jerusalem, right? That was Mount Moriah. That was the same place where Isaac was taken up and was to be sacrificed unto God. This is that great city. This is that great land. But spiritually, it's called Sodom and Egypt in this dispensation. Yet we're also speaking of a city that God is going to restore completely. Not only is He going to restore it, this statement here gives the key to the church age in which Israel and the Jew are in a temporary rejection from the Lord as a body, as they were, yet He is going to restore them as a political power under Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, that may be confusing tonight, but what you find in this 11th chapter is the key of the premillennial system of interpretation of the Word of God. This chapter here, if you will rightly divide this chapter tonight, everything in this Word of God can be rightly divided into the right place, into the correct places that it goes. And it's that simple this evening. Our premillennial system of interpretation comes from what we're reading tonight and putting everything in the proper order that we will find. It opens up the Scriptures completely to the Word of God as it is written. And you know what the other thing that it does? And this is what I think is amusing. It frustrates the daylights out of the Bible correctors. I mean, it frustrates them teetotally to death. And it should frustrate them, you know, because they're frustrating God when they're wrestling with His Scriptures. Now, I want to introduce you to someone tonight. And I'm going to introduce him as probably the second most important figure in all the Scripture. He's found in verse 7, and I want you to get a hold of this. The Bible says, when they had finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome them, and kill them. Now, what I want us to clearly understand about this character that's being introduced here in verse 7, this man called the beast, I want to tell you who he is not. Number one, he is not the spirit of the Antichrist. He is not the lawless one or the lawless spirit. This man is, in a great way, becomes the main theme of the Bible outside of the work and the person of Jesus Christ. There were more references to this man that we call the beast in verse 7. There's more references in the Old Testament of this man than there are Paul, David, and Moses combined. Outside of Jesus Christ, he is the most spoken of man in the Bible. He's called the beast in Revelation chapter 11. 1 John 2, we know him as the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 11, we know him as the willful king or the king of the north. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's known of the man of sin or the son of perdition. And we're going to get into him quite thoroughly throughout the study in Revelation. This man, this beast, this Antichrist, this son of perdition, this man of sin, has 18 types in the Bible, and outside of Jesus Christ, becomes the most important character in the Bible because he is the antithesis of everything that is right, the antithesis of everything that is of God, and everything that is good. And therefore, he is an important character inside the Word of God. And I'm not lifting him up saying he's a good character. I'm just telling you he's important in our Scripture. So look there in verse 1 with me tonight, having heard everything that you heard, understanding and knowing how important the 11th chapter of Revelation is. Revelation chapter 1, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So how do we know that the events that we read about in the next verse, how do we know that where this temple is. How do we know this temple is not a heavenly temple? How do we know this temple is not the temple of Herod? This reed like unto a rod that's spoken of there is a measuring stick. That's what it is. The temple mentioned here in Revelation chapter 11 is not the same temple mentioned in Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 through 5, which again is going to be, that temple is going to be found again in Revelation 11, verse 19, and we'll speak about that later. But this temple that's being measured in the first two verses here of Revelation 11 is here on earth. Here's what you have to understand. It's not a spiritual, ghostly, or inflatable temple. This is a real, literal, physical temple on this earth. Okay? So understand that. But when was it? That's the key that we want to look at. That's the important aspect of understanding the scripture. So in verse 2, if we go here, by the way, the angel that is speaking there, this angel, we've already identified who he is, and we'll talk about him in a second. Verse 2 says, but the court. Now, if you do mark in your Bible, if you circle in your Bible, I'm going to have you circle or highlight or take a note, whatever you want to do, in a very, very important word in the scripture, and it's the second word found in that second verse. The. Now, why is that important? That three-letter word is going to distinguish exactly where and when this particular temple is. We'll talk about it in just a second. Read it with me again. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. If we believe what we read, as we read it, where we found it, we know that there is a temple on earth. It's not the temple in heaven. It is a literal temple in a literal city. Both literal city and literal temple will be tread underfoot for a literal 42 months. Okay? Therefore, you and I must accept their temple and the temple worship will one day be restored on this earth. We read about this in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 15 says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, Matthew 24, when you think of that chapter, what do you think of? Two things you should think of. Two things inherently from Matthew 24. Israel, tribulation. Those two things. That's the first thing that ought to come to mind, Matthew 24. If you take those things and take them away from Israel and tribulation period, you're going to confuse yourself. And you're going to try to take something that God has planned and purposed for His people Israel in Daniel's 70th week and purport them into the church age. And put them into our way of living and our life and what we have in the world today. So the reality is there is no way under the sun that this could have been fulfilled, talking about verse 2, in AD 70. So many have perverted that teaching of the Holy Scriptures in false doctrines today. These two verses, verses 1 and verses 2, the Holy Spirit is speaking about a literal physical temple, not the spiritual temple, not a spiritual city, but a literal temple where literal temple worship and literal Gentiles are treading underfoot the temple for 42 months. That is important for us to understand. It's not a spiritual battle or a spiritual treading or a spiritual temple worship or a spiritual temple or a spiritual city. It's all physical, it's all real, and it's all literal. And it's not just a month of attacks as Rome did when they came in and destroyed Jerusalem in the manner they did. The temple was destroyed in less than 3 days. It was destroyed, trodden underfoot, broken down, earth was salted, and all those things happened. Furthermore, here's what's important. Now, if I was to ask you tonight, we've already spoken about the Antichrist in lessons prior, and we're going to speak about him more. But there's two individuals in the Bible that are called the son of perdition. Right? One of them is the Antichrist, and one of them is who? Judas Iscariot. But not once does it say one of the sons of perdition or a son of perdition. It says what? The. That's an important word when you agree the, right? You know, you could say this is the pastor's wife. I couldn't figure out how to say the BJ's wife. So the pastor's wife, right? There's not more than one. There's one. That's her, all right? We have the David. I don't have another David Sagner. That's mine right there, okay? There's only one. So therefore, common sense and common understanding of the Scripture would tell you tonight that Judas Iscariot somehow, some way, is going to be that character of the beast, the Antichrist, by way of coming back. Would you believe that tonight? You say, "Ah, preacher, I can't believe that." Well, you better, because we got two more Old Testament characters that are coming back as those two witnesses right there, Moses and Elijah, and we'll see that in the weeks to come. Now, furthermore, we understand how many archangels are there. We know there's one. Why? Because the Bible says in the book of Jude, the archangel. Not one of the many, not one of the two, not an or a, the. So why am I bringing that attention? This is what's important for you to understand exactly where this temple is that it's speaking of. Because it says, verse 2, but the court. Okay, why is that important? That's important because Herod's temple in AD 70, it was destroyed by Rome, had four courts in it. Alright? Not basketball courts, not squash courts or tennis courts, but courts, right? This one here that's being measured in verse 2 has one. Rebuilt temple. Rebuilt temple, more than likely built according to the original temple that we saw rebuilt. Herod's temple had four. So this, and that's a simple matter of history, guys. That's a simple matter that can be proven through just the reading of writings and records that Herod's temple had four courts, whereas this temple that's being spoken of in Revelation 11 has one. In verse 2, we find also that it says, and the holy city. Okay? Why is that important? If you look down toward the end of the verse, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and it says, and the holy city shall be treaded underfoot 40 and 2 minutes. Why is that important? Because in verse 8, Jerusalem is referred to spiritually as Sodom and Egypt. And guys, listen, nothing ever has been positive when you reference it, oh, that's Sodom and Egypt. That's not a positive remark at all. It's because in this dispensation we're in right now, in the sight of God, as a result of rejecting Jesus Christ spiritually, Jerusalem is Sodom and Egypt. But as far as the promises go to the nation of Israel and concerning the restoration of Israel, God sees it as the holy city. His promises are still intact. So with those two thoughts right there, do you know what we did? We just cut all the legs out from underneath dominion theology, reform theology, dominion theology, replacement theology, whatever you want to call it. We just whacked all that. They have nothing to stand on. Because we just showed you the temple referred to in chapter 11 has nothing to do with the temple in AD 70. Completely two different temples. Structurally, they're not even the same. We just showed you of who and what the holy city is. And we showed you as God refers to that holy city. You say, well, wait a second here. How do we know who that is right there? How do we know who is speaking here? Guys, we've already identified the one that will later give power in verse 3. The angel that is speaking here in these verses here in verse 1, we understand that it's the same one from Revelation 10, 1 and Revelation 10, 1, 9 and 11 that is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Okay, so when the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he says that spiritually this is Sodom and Egypt, but he also refers to it as the holy city, he's seen it through the eyes of his promise that he has for the restoration of his nation. What this does, guys, as far as the promises go, it disproves any teaching on the planet of reform or replacement theology. And it just simply by God Himself, by the Lord Jesus Christ, referring to it as the holy city, completely shoots down replacement theology. It places Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 17. It shows that those chapters cannot refer to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 as all, if not most, but all replacement theologists and their denominational teachings would like you to believe that everything in Revelation was referred to and fulfilled in AD 70. But all of this has future applications, which is interesting. The Lord gave the book of Revelation in the 90s, after Jerusalem was destroyed in 70, probably 80, 96, 94 is when Revelation was written. Jerusalem would already have been destroyed, so we see that it could not have been yet future. So let's go into verse 3 briefly. We'll be done for tonight just by way of introduction. We'll open up for some questions on what we've heard tonight as well. We see the phrase here that it says in verse 2, and shall tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. How many days is that? We've already mentioned that. Verse 3 gives us the answer. And I is that same angel that's speaking in verse 1, same angel from Revelation 10, verse 1, 9, and 11, to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will give power. I'll stop you there. How does he have? How can he give power unto these angels? Amen? Well, because he's Lord Jesus Christ. All power has been given in heaven and earth unto him. Remember that in Matthew 28, Luke 24. Verse 3 says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So, in the Bible, 42 months equals 1,206 days, which shows that 1 month equals 30 days. So it's a 30-day month of 42 months, which equals 1,260 days. This is the reference to the last 3 years, last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. We spoke about that rapture that occurs there in verse 12. We spoke about verse 15, this great sound that comes in the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdom of our Lord. We spoke about that. All of that happens at the end of the tribulation period. So, what we have here is we have a time set of when the temple's there. When is that temple rebuilt? When is the temple worship reinstated? During the tribulation period, when God turns his eyes back upon his nation to show his promises and to restore them, restore that temple worship for a short period of time. And again, we'll see the two witnesses next week. So when you look at Revelation 11, and this is just by introduction, then we're finished. You look at Revelation 11, we begin to see what is happening. It is a guideline to dispensational teaching in the premillennial mindset. It's the guideline to it. Because you see the 1260 days, which is the 42 months, which is the 3.5 years, okay, that occur, which you have two sets of those, which equals 7 years. This is the latter part of the tribulation period. And we'll find in one verse here, we'll find it jump even greater and further than that. But again, if you can understand it and take it as it's written, dispensationally speaking tonight, it's easy to place things and events where they belong and how they line up. So in other words, when you read Matthew 24 and you start reading about the things that are happening, you read Luke 21, and when these things begin to come to pass, and then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's Luke 21:28. When you read that verse, you'll go, wait a second here. Wait, what things? You read those things. Oh, wait a second. I know when those things are happening. Those things are happening over here. Now, does that mean that the world events that we're seeing today, you know, some people will take all of the tragedies with the fish dying and all the things that are happening today, and they'll try to link that directly to Matthew 24. And in the earlier portions of the chapter, you probably can tie it together because it is forewarnings of what is ready to become. But to think that one third of the fish on the earth has died and the moon's getting ready to turn to blood, and then things are going to be dark. No, those are for signs back unto Israel that happens during the tribulation period. Those are judgments that are coming upon this earth with the seals, with the trumpets, with the vials, as we are continuing to go through here in Revelation, in the book of Revelation. So understand, even though we're seeing birth pangs that are occurring in the world today, all right, it still is not Matthew 24, Mark 13. It still is not the events that we're going to, that the world's going to see in the tribulation period. We need to understand that. And the key to understanding that, again, guys, is this 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. So I'm going to stop there. We'll get into the two witnesses next week. We'll get into much more dissection in chapter 11. But what I do want to do is I want to open up tonight for any questions concerning what we spoke about this evening.